Direct from Birmingham in the UK, it's blindbargains.com coverage of Site Village 2015. Brought to you by HeartGen Consultancy.
HeartGen Consultancy, how can we help?
If you need high-quality products such as Lisi for all JAWS users, online access technology courses, JAWS script writing, competitive pricing, and friendly sales and support, we're HeartGen Consultancy, and we can help. Visit us today, www.heartgen.org.
Now, here's Dave Williams.
We're at Site Village 2015, and you meet all kinds of riffraff wandering around the aisles.
Unfortunately, that's very true.
Anyone know who that voice is? It's Darren Pascal, ladies and gentlemen, formerly of ACB Radio Interactive, no less.
Greetings.
How are you, Darren?
I'm well. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm very well, thank you very much. What are you up to these days?
Well, this is kind of a day off for me. I mean, I get to go and spend time inside a building during daytime instead of inside a very dark building when it's after dusk. So this is a free upgrade for me, really.
Do you want to explain to people what you do? Because they might not be familiar with your line of work.
Quite. I am a waiter, but I can't really imagine how I could operate as a waiter in most establishments. I currently work at the Dining in the Dark restaurant in London. It's called Don Lenoir, so it's a French company, but it just translates quite literally as in the black, in the dark, and that's normally it's part-time, so, you know, two or three nights a week, and it seems that people do have an appetite for not knowing what they're eating while they're eating it, which I find quite incredible even now, but there you go.
When I worked with you, Darren, you were programming and making the ACB radio tuner, I seem to remember.
Indeed.
How on earth did you become a waiter in a restaurant?
I don't know. It's always been...
Congratulations, by the way, because I think it's fantastic. And actually, they should be employing blind people in that capacity. I absolutely agree with that. So I think it's a tremendous thing that you're doing the job you're doing. But how did you get into it?
Complete fluke, to be honest. I found myself, you know, just doing the fairly standard thing, looking around. Can I do this job? Can I do this job? Yes, I probably can do this job. Can I convince you that I can do this job? Anyway, I was reminded of this place and gave them the call, and they invited me to go and have a look around. Didn't really have an interview as such, just sort of turned up and spent 2 or 3 days following other people around, and on my second day they started giving me people to serve, so just got on with it, and I'm still there. So
just describe the restaurant then for people who've not been to. Is it Don Lenoir? My French isn't very good, I'll be honest with you.
Don Lenoir. So
Don Lenoir.
Don Lenoir. It's if you looked it up on the internet, it's DanSLeNoir.com. But
and it's a sort of a chain, isn't it? There's one in London, and then there's a couple of others, I believe.
Yes, there are. I think it's... Well, it did. It started out in Paris. I think basically what it was about 10, 15 years ago, there were these two friends, a young blind gentleman who I think had a bit of a track record of various entrepreneurial adventures, and... His mate was working as a chef at the time and was feeling very annoyed that he was getting all of these wonderful ideas of recipes and things to try out for meal dishes, and yet nobody seemed to want to give him the chance to try them out. So they put their heads together and thought, well, you know, if you can't see what you're eating, then it doesn't matter, does it? You know, we can basically come up with whatever we like, and if you are willing to trust us that we're not going to give you anything that will poison you, but will far rather make you think, wow, is that really that good? That's amazing. I would never have chosen that, but now when I see this particular ingredient on the menu in the future, I'll know that I like it, you know. So they started off the Paris thing, and it soon spread to London. I think London now is the biggest of their branches. They do have other things going on in France. So as well as the restaurant in the dark, they've now got a spa in the dark. And they're also shortly opening up a shop which is going to be manned by blind people who will be stocking a series of products that they like. But I think that's still fairly early days yet. I don't know if it's opened yet. But yeah, essentially, the one in London, we can seat up to 60 people, and you make your booking, you tell us in advance, you know, you usually have to book in advance, but you would sort of turn up with whoever you're coming with. To be honest, I'd recommend if you can, and you were interested in going, to come with somebody, because when you don't have the distractions of seeing the plate in front of you or the decor or any of that stuff, you know, you are kind of left to talk, because sort of talking to people and, you know, communicating with the odd handshake or gentle pat on the back, you can't really do very much else while you're in there.
Is it important to say that this doesn't really have a lot to do with blindness? It's more about creating a new experience for somebody who perhaps eats with their eyes, I don't know. Is
that... Yes, I think that's a very fair point. I think if you were... If you are already blind, you probably yourself won't get very much out of this experience on your own. But having said that,
apart from hearing your friends and family freak out or whatever they do, I mean, exactly. How do people react?
Well, yeah, it all sorts. There are people who, because it's dark before you go in the room, because obviously to try and keep the dining room itself dark, we have to try and make sure that light doesn't leak into it, which means that your first experience is stepping through this kind of blackout curtain into this almost alcove, really, before we lead you into the main room itself. And at that point, people, well, I think it's actually very hard to find an environment that's completely pitch black these days. I mean, even at night time, if you're in a city, there's always going to be quite a lot of light pollution.
So what sorts of things do people say?
Well, goodness me, this is a bit dark, isn't it? You know,
despite the fact that, stating the obvious.
No, I know. But, you know, there are some people who say, oh, I'm not sure if I can do this, I'm not sure if I can do this. But often we find when we sit people down for, you know, after about 3 or 4 minutes of perhaps anxiety, I think most people, once they've got a drink in their hand, will soon, you know, come to grips with the situation. It's
so basically
unusual.
To get over the fact that they've just had their, you know, they're now light deprived. Just sort of chuck wine down their necks and it's all okay.
Well, exactly. But I mean, the other element that does surprise people is this thing about having to rely on others, i.e. us, for pretty much everything. Because, I mean, normally if you go, you know, your pub down the corner or whatever, and you get in the first round of drinks, maybe order your meal, you can still get up and walk around. You know, if you discover that there's somebody who's come in, your mate, across the room, you know,
let's get to it, Darren. Do people have to ask to go to the loo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And generally, if you...
Is there a light in there?
There is, yes. Yes, which is probably a relief, I think. Yeah.
And how do you stop people from, you know, maybe taking their phone in? Because obviously, you know, everyone's got a mobile phone these days.
That's right.
Makes light.
It does. Well, we do have a series of lockers. It's a bit like going to a swimming pool in that regard, I guess. Kind of just on the in the lit bar entrance area where you can just stow away anything. There is always somebody who thinks, oh, hang on, I'm probably going to get away with this. And if we do notice that there is light creeping in, then we will either ask you to leave or hand over your possessions. I mean, it might be accidental because, let's face it, most people these days will have a watch that's capable of glowing in the dark, and sometimes that's the last thing that you'll think of, you know, and we don't always think to remind you about that. So, you know, it does happen.
How long have you been there?
Oh, I've been there about 2 years now.
2 years.
Yeah.
And would you, having worked in an environment like that, would you like to work in a regular restaurant, in a mainstream restaurant? Do you think you could cope with that?
I'm not sure, because I mean there are one or two procedures that we have in place. For instance, I always know where I'm going to be able to find the people who I've sat down, and it seems obvious, but you know, there are occasions where you might have to move a table, and that might be that would be something else for me to think about, which when you've already got to try and juggle the orders of 20 people at a time is perhaps not particularly helpful. So I don't know. I think there would be challenges. I think with the right training, I think it could be possible, although realistically, whether or not I would be as efficient walking around a dining room with plates in my hand as someone who can see exactly where they're going, I honestly don't know. I've not tried it.
Presumably at your restaurant, the one where you were promoted you, presumably there are less people wandering around generally.
Indeed. Yeah. Normally the only people walking around is just us.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
You know, that really helps enormously.
And then what happens about the menu then? Do you read the menu to your guests?
Well, this is it. There isn't really much of a menu choice. I mean, we do have four...
You get what you're given.
You get what you're given. There are basically four set menus, you know. So you make your choice as far as there is a choice before you actually go inside. Afterwards, well, we've got a team of people who man the bar at the front, and we kind of figure that they probably should have the joy of seeing people's reactions as they reveal what the menu actually was. So generally, I won't give away anything about what is on a plate unless somebody at the last minute, when I've just put their dish in front of them, will say, oh, hang on, I'm allergic to parsnip, whatever, you know. And at that point I might have to give a small game away, because I will then radio through, because we're always in constant contact with everyone else.
Please tell me that you don't say, oh, your peas are at 12 o'clock.
No, we don't do that.
Nobody wants that. Ever.
No. To be honest, there's not, unless you happen to have ordered more than one bottle of wine, you're probably not going to have very much on your table in front of you apart from your plate and a glass and perhaps a bottle or a jug of water. But anything more than that, you know, you know where everything is.
Yeah. So. Give us an anecdote then.
Well,
how many have you dropped?
How many have I dropped? Well, I can tell you that I've been counting, which I don't know what that says about me, but I can tell you that I've served 3,929 people in the dark so far. Of all of those people, they've had at least two, usually three courses, so that's quite a lot of plates. I reckon I probably have handled in either direction in excess of 10,000 plates, and I have only, I think, broken about four or five of them. My most embarrassing incident by far, in my first week, I had a jug of water that I was just about to serve to somebody, and it was stowed away on a drinks trolley that was just behind me. And this trolley I also had loaded up with a couple of plates as well. And I was just reaching for the jug. And in reaching for the jug, I forgot that there was another jug in front of it, which I knocked over. And it regurgitated its contents all over this trolley. Thankfully, it didn't actually spill over anybody. But my word, the sound of all of that water escaping was it would have been enough to wet myself if I hadn't already done so. You know, it was
and,
bad.
And it's always when you knock something over, it just seems to keep going, doesn't it?
It does.
You
know? It really does.
Yeah. Oh well, that's amazing, Derek. So you're doing that a couple of times a week, and then what else are you up to?
I'm involved with our local church, so occasionally I'll mess around with a band. I don't really take it monumentally seriously, because let's face it, recorder playing is more for a bit of fun. You know, you're never going to lead a band with a recorder of any tone, but it keeps me amused.
What are you excited about technology-wise at the moment?
Oh goodness, well, Braille actually. It's amazing how much the price of Braille production for electronic refreshable equipment has just totally plummeted, really, in the last 5 years. I think it's really exciting. I know that Braille literacy levels are generally on the decline, but to be honest, I think that's really sad, because I still think in Braille whenever I'm trying to figure out how on earth I'm supposed to spell some word or other, you know, even if I'm typing it. Although I don't use it as much as when I was at school, I still love it for the time when I do use it.
I like that. I think in Braille. I totally get what you mean by that. Yes. Yes. Well, that's that's tremendous. Yeah, there's lots going on in the refreshable rail space, and I suspect we're not done yet.
No. I think we're, if anything, just scratching the surface, because up until now, all of the commercially available equipment has tended to be capable of displaying just one line of text at a time, any kind of length that you can imagine. But what if you can do more? And what if the cost of making all of those little dots, maybe you don't even have to manufacture a bale sale with all those little dots anymore, you know? I think we're just getting started, really, and I think the next few years will very much see Braille become fashionable again, I hope, anyway.
Let's hope so. Okay, Darren Pascoe, it's been a pleasure. Do you want to just give the restaurant website address?
Yeah,
for
sure.
People?
So it's danslenoir.com. So if you think of it in three separate words, dan, D-A-N-S, le, L-E, noir, N-O-I-R.com.
Excellent. Darren Pascoe, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Exclusive audio coverage. Visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys. Online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.